In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to recognize that we haven't changed the liturgy significantly. We just happen to be living too close to Orlando when they have Rock the Universe. So 30 or so of our youth and families are all over in Orlando this morning, worshiping with morning prayer, by the way, from the prayer book, just so we know. And they'll be back later this afternoon, undoubtedly exhausted. But I'm grateful to say this morning that I can officially claim I am too old for that. But this morning, I want to talk to you about Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth, now this city is a very worldly place. It has two ports, it's right sort of there between the two seas, and anything that was happening in the world was happening there. And you know how worldly things can happen. So all of the different idol worship and false gods from our perspective and the rest, all of that was present. And here is this church that Paul has planted, and they are trying to live into the fullness of being followers of the way, those who have proclaimed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, in the midst of all the worldly pressures. And within this society, the primary things that they would have been focused on, of course, would be wealth, power, and pleasure. And between the Greeks being present, the Jews and the Gentiles, it was just a lot. So that's why we have these two letters that Paul's written to the church in Corinth. I don't know if you're familiar as to why he wrote them. The church wasn't doing so great at finding their world-to-church balance. Now I would challenge this to say, because isn't that what many of us are often trying to do? How do I balance my church life with my real life? And here's the truth for you. You can't. There's no balance. You are either a follower of Jesus Christ or you are not following Jesus Christ. There's no in-between space. We like to think there is, and we try to live in this gray area. And the church in Corinth was trying to live in that gray area, holding on to what was going on within society while also attempting to follow this Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Sounds a lot like Paul could have written a letter, I don't know, to the church in Valrico, to any of us at any given time, because I think we all find our way into this mess just a little bit from time to time. In fact, we will do it at such a level, just as they were doing then. They would look at who has the power, who has the wealth, and those people by default also became the ones who were wise. And we do that at a very peculiar level these days, in my opinion. And again, I have the microphone, so my opinion is what you get. The concept of our society today is on the internet, there are people who do nothing but put out videos and clips or whatever, and you know what they call them? Influencers. Correct. Now, I haven't really thought about that very much until recently, and I thought, this is what's influencing us. Now, most of us would look at a lot of that, and since most of our younger people are in Orlando today, we could look at that and say, these people don't know anything, honestly. But then society still builds around trends and political views and all sorts of other pieces move in. And we've gotten to such a level now that people who are essentially doing nothing more than entertaining are influencers. And we begin to think that they actually are the ones who are wise, and because they often have a lot of money, they are people in power, so much so that they actually believe that to be true. And they only believe that to be true because our society approves it. How do we know? Well, we're just coming through awards season where all the actors, actresses, musicians, whatever, all get together and dress up and give each other awards for something. I don't know what. I don't watch that sort of stuff because I don't know who most of these people are anyway. I don't watch a lot of movies, and the music I listen to, most of those people are dead. just to put it out there. So the reality is they will get up there and use it as a platform to give their opinion. So I get to use this platform to kind of give mine, and I'm going to back it up with Paul here in a minute, to say maybe once in a while, like in a church in Corinth, we might in this society get confused of who has the power and the wisdom. Amen? And we sometimes get lost in that. And we begin to think, because we don't have those things that these people may have, we don't have the platform, we don't have the skills or the gifts or the talent or the money, that maybe we should listen to the people who do. The church in Corinth was essentially doing the same thing. Now, here's this thing. We worship Jesus Christ, amen? Jesus, who came into this world, God incarnate, and died the most humiliating death possible in his time. The most humiliating death on the cross. And here today, we, in our tradition, have this cross everywhere. We, depending on how traditional you are, may find yourself making the sign of the cross at various times in the midst of our worship. So there's a pointing to this reality of what Paul is showing us. Jesus came in and just turned everything upside down. What society thought was important, he's saying it is not. This church in Corinth was forgetting that concept. Paul is writing to them to remind them of it. So he says in chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" And God made foolish the wisdom of the world by simply entering in God incarnate Jesus Christ and walking this world in the way in which Jesus walked it, caring for the people he cared for, openly doing things that society thought, you can't do that, and he did it anyway by the power of God. Amen? So that is still true today. And we still, living in society and living in this world, are tempted to follow the world instead of the power of God. Not a new message, not a new problem. The church in Corinth did the same. They're in a struggle. We still struggle today as his church and as his followers. We find ourselves in this struggle. And we need to remember, you know, turn it upside down from time to time. What is Jesus actually teaching? What is Paul carrying to the church, one who carries with him the call to teach this Christ crucified? He says in verse 22, "For Jews demand signs, Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." Now, as we move as followers of Jesus Christ, we will from time to time come to the reality, we should do it more often, that we have no idea how to do it. We may look at the world and the world's expectation of someone who's an expert, and only experts have the authority to speak and the wisdom to speak, and we may say, I can't speak for Jesus, I'm not an expert in Jesus. We may think that we are unable, incapable, uneducated, unworthy to do this work that God has called us to do. So what we do is we sit and we wait for someone else that we somehow perceive as better prepared to do the work, to do the work. Paul is saying the exact opposite. He He says, consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And we need to remember that. We need to come to Christ and understand He is our strength. He is the one who empowers us. He is the one who gives the gifts through the power of the Spirit. God is the one who will do the work through you. But we have to show up for the work. Amen? We struggle. I've mentioned this before, but the number one reason most people don't attend a Bible study when I ask them, and I told early service, I probably could have retired by now if I had a dollar for every time somebody said this to me when I said, oh, you should come to Bible study, and they're feeling particularly honest and vulnerable in the moment, and instead of saying, well, you know, I don't really have time for that, what they say is, I don't really know anything about the Bible. Well, brothers and sisters, that's like showing up to kindergarten and going, I think I'm going to go home because I don't know how to write my name. Now, you probably know that before kindergarten now, but the fact of the matter is, of course we don't know, we have to learn. And we, of course, aren't going to learn if we don't come. If we continue to look at God and we sit in the pew and we sit and we wait and say, when God gives me everything I need to walk out this door to do exactly what I hear Him calling me to do, then I'll do it. You're going to spend the rest of your day sitting in the pew. It's never going to happen. I promise you. It won't happen. And the other thing I will promise you, anyone you see that is out there doing this work and you look at them and go, ooh, man, they really understand this. They really got this down. They don't. They just showed up. Oh, by the way, if they come and tell you that they are the expert, run. They're not. None of us are the expert. God is the expert. Through Christ's example, we understand that we have been invited in and through the power of the Holy Spirit empowered to do this work. Look at this building. Look at this campus. Drive around town sometime. There's buildings like this everywhere. These buildings themselves are a complete representation of what Paul is saying today. This is foolishness. We gathered here this morning in this space, in this building, and on this property for 60-some-odd years now, and we have done all this to come together to worship a homeless carpenter. Now, where does that make sense anywhere in this world that we live in? Go to any other building that's built in honor of someone else. I think you'll be hard put to find one built to a homeless carpenter who became an itinerant preacher without the education fully that most people would have expected him to have. He didn't even follow all the rules. He was constantly breaking the rules, healing people on the Sabbath. Whoa! What are you talking about? Inviting people who were uncircumcised, sitting with people that you shouldn't sit with, eating with people you shouldn't eat with. The world has never understood Jesus, but we do. Paul is reminding the church, we know this, that all that the world thinks is important is not what God sees as important. God sees the brokenness. He sees your brokenness, and He sees my brokenness, and He says, come to me. Oh, and by the way, I'm calling you to do the work that I have done and more. Now, first time I came to understand this was when I got it motivated. I was excited. And it came to me, And I was convinced, and I still believe that was true, God was calling me to lead the youth in my church down in Sarasota 20-some-odd years ago. And so I went to my priest and very excitedly told him, I figured out what God's calling me to do, and I told him, he goes, that's great. And next Sunday, that's what I was doing. So after a little bit of time, I come by the church in my raggedy old car I've told you about before, my 67 Mercury Monterey convertible. That's one of those two-door cars that's 22 feet long. And it was a little beat up and rusty. And I pull through the parking lot. He says, hey, Brian, how's it going? I said, great. He goes, take me for a ride in your car. I said, that's fine, Father. Don't step on the floor. Because he would have gone through. Anybody would have gone through. He for sure would have. And we were driving out of the parking lot. He goes, how's everything going with the youth ministry? I said, honestly, I have no idea what I'm doing. And he said, ah, that's perfect. I said, excuse me? He goes, it's perfect. You can't do anything without God now. And I said, oh, okay. I don't have to bow down to my insecurities and my fear. I can move forward by the power and wisdom of God given to me through Jesus Christ and living in me by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I can boast in God because I have nothing. I'll tell you a secret. Of course, it won't be one now. Sometimes people ask me if I'm paying attention in church because you see me sitting up there and I'm usually looking at the floor. People who sit on the aisle will probably see my lips moving before I read the gospel. And people are thinking, is he sleeping? No, I'm praying. What's he doing up here, practicing? Nope, still praying. You want to know what those eloquent words are that are going through my heart at that time? God, you better say something that matters, because I'm freaking out right now. Every single Sunday, I come here and pray to God that the Lord speaks to you through me. Every Saturday night, I go to bed worrying that I'm going to screw it up. And let me tell you something else. I pray it never stops, because I cannot do anything without him. So if you find yourself saying, I can't do that, brothers and sisters, that is right where you should be. Because if you think you can do it, you're probably not doing it. You need to walk out on that edge. You need to know that God is there. You need to trust in him. You need to be willing to say, I don't know what's happening, Lord, but I know you want me here. And then you just walk out there and you do whatever it is he's put before you. And then any time, from my own experience, at any time you think you got it and you got this under control, I promise you, that is when you are going to screw it up. When you go in trusting God and being open and honest and vulnerable with God and saying, Lord, I cannot move without you. I need you now. I'm going. I don't want to. I don't feel ready to do it. But I know you've called me to be here. I'm considering that call that he has put on each one of us. Consider that call at that level. And at that moment where you normally back up and say, it shouldn't be this hard. It is. If you hold on to the worldly understanding of your value, when it gets easy is when you understand that God takes all of this brokenness, all of this meekness, all of this lack of knowledge, all of this lack of wisdom, all of this lack of power, and he makes it powerful and wise for him. And then, brothers and sisters, the world starts to change around us. We begin to understand that we are not what God needs. We, by his grace, get to participate in this work and ministry of building up his kingdom because we need him. Yeah, your brokenness is real. Mine too. The power of God and the wisdom of God is real too. So I challenge you this week, ask yourself, do I need to know or do I need to believe? And when that opportunity comes, when you know you don't know, believe and move anyway. Amen.